So listen, Dan, you know, before we were not I guess I rudely interrupted us when I brought Daryl in and had him give us a little bit more insight on what's going on with this, you know, Kirk Cousins being in town. So my big picture theory on this is, so what if he was here in town? That's great, man. I hope that the folks in Northeast Ohio showed him some hospitality. I can't tell you how disgruntled I get. It's probably a good word. When I hear that there are players from other teams or free agents from other cities that come to our town and they're like, I just want to get there and get out. Like, that's not, you know, if you live here, you know where the good stuff is, right? And you love it. And there's a reason why we're here. And there's a reason why some people move away and come back. And I understand other parts of the state are growing exponentially. But you know what? This is a great place to be. And I wouldn't trade our spring, our summer, especially our fall for anything else. I love living here, but that's me. You don't have to. But when you see someone that's here and participating in our community, like going to a fast food restaurant, and he could potentially be a quarterback here if the chips fight place, I'm good with it. Like, I'm good with yesterday's story. Whether he ends up playing for the Browns or not, I'm good with it. It could have been any one of the free agent quarterbacks that are out there. It happened to be Kirk Cousins yesterday.
Agreed completely. And if we're putting all of the cards on the table of all of the best available options, if the goal is to win games next year that could possibly be out there, Kirk Cousins is the best option. Now, is it a good option? No, but it's the best option that's available to you. Like many other things in life, is the option in front of you a good option? Not really, but is it the best option that you have? Yeah, and sometimes that's the reality that we're living in. I would take Kirk Cousins starting this season over rookie quarterback X. You could put any of the rookie quarterbacks who could be out there out, you know, into the conversation, even Cam Ward dropping, and I probably would feel better about starting Kirk Cousins in the beginning of the year than all of those. Now, will that be the same answer in week 11? No, probably not. But to start the season, yes, of all the options available, Kirk Cousins is probably the best one. And it's still not a good option.
Steve is in Rocky River. Hi, Steve. How are you?
What's happening, Steve?
Hey, just wanted to clue you in. I know why Kirk was here.
Give it to me, baby. I want to hear it. Why was he here?
Okay, first, the verifiable fact that anybody can check. Fact number one, Paul DeBattista was not observed traveling with Browns management to see Abdul Carter or anybody else in Georgia and Florida. Fact number two, there is a building.
Wait, did anybody see Paul DePodesta in town yesterday?
I mean, he's also in San Diego.
Yeah, he's also, most of the time he's in San Diego. He's excellent at Zoom. I've heard that he knows how to Skype and Zoom. Just right. Saying. Go ahead, keep going. Sorry.
Right. Fact number two, there is a building on Rocky River, which folks who live on the east side may not know is right next to Westlake, that formerly had a penthouse occupied by Bernie Kosar years ago.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, that building is has a unique color, right?
Fact number three.
Is that true or false? That building is a unique color?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called the Pink Hotel.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, keep going. Yes. Still there, Steve?
Three.
Yes.
What fast food chain in the United States would not want to use the slogan, "Do you like that?" made famous by Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, anything else? Any other ones? Okay. So, done deal. He's our quarterback, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Now, finally, I can neither confirm nor deny that I was accidentally invited to the Signal group chat between Paul DePodesta and friends of agents of Kirk Cousins to reveal that first.
Were you, again, you were accidentally invited to this, right?
Correct, accidentally.
That's
just
right.
Making sure, okay.
That's right.
Yes.
First, Paul still holds a grudge against the NFL executives who talked behind his back in line at the NFL Combine in 2018. Again, independently verifiable, and said, talk trash about the Browns and about him. So Paul always wanted to get back to them. Now Paul has, I can neither confirm nor deny, revealed.
All right,
that
Steve, this is getting
Abdul
tired.
Abdul Carter,
yes,
is
last point.
Abdul Carter is going to be the number two choice.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
All right. That they are not taking a quarterback, until the end of the draft, are going to have Kirk groomed to be the quarterback, taking them to the Super Bowl in 2029. Thus,
all right, Steve. Hey, thank you. We appreciate it. I'm tired, man. Can I take a nap after the phone call?
Just keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
Again, of all of the options,
I'm trying to be nice,
QB one in the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is probably the best option that we know of right now. So it's fine. I'm not over the moon. I'm not sitting there going, oh boy, Kirk Cousins is coming. Yay, everything's fixed. Like, nobody's doing any of that. It's just kind of like, okay, if he's here for this, cool. Great. Your over-under goes to 6.5. Cool.
Here's my question for you. If you are Kirk Cousins, and by the way, I think you're holding the cards here because you're going to wait till after the draft. Like, if the Browns draft a quarterback at 2, I don't blame you. I wouldn't come. I wouldn't give up my no-trade clause to come to Cleveland if they take somebody at 2. So he can hold on to that. My question for you then is, if Daryl's theory, which I tend to agree with, that the Browns, it would behoove the Browns to try to get back up in the first round if they wanted to try to trade for a pick in the first round, you know, maybe 22 or lower, because that you give the fifth year of control on a quarterback at that point, which I think makes all the sense in the world, and that they've got the capital to kind of move back up into that end of the first round. What does that mean, though, if they take a quarterback towards the end of the first round compared to taking a quarterback with the number 2 pick? Does that, if you're Kirk Cousins, do you look at it and go, well, all right, they did take somebody in the first round. It was the end of the first round. That probably means they may not start them in the beginning of the season, but I got to think by midseason, even if I'm healthy, they're probably going to want to switch, unless we're winning every game.
I think you have it laid out pretty well. I think that's what he's looking at it as. Going, okay, if I'm coming here, it's going to be with the idea that I'm going to keep the seat warm. I'm going to groom somebody. I'm going to work with them to try to get them in a position where they end up being the starter. If I play great next season, if I play just okay, probably this season. And who knows where, you know, Kirk Cousins is at that point. I mean, gosh, the guy's, you know, he's 36 years old. By the time the season starts, he'll be 37. So who knows if, like, you know, father time is starting to get to him on top of it. Like, okay, I'm in a different part of my career. Or, I mean, gosh, Andy, for all we know, he could be looking at it and saying, I'm another year off of my Achilles. How do I feel now? Now I feel better. Sure. Now I feel more spry. Now, you know, my shoulder got hurt last year. Maybe I'm a little bit better. Do you see it that way? Do you like the idea of training up for a quarterback in the first?
Yeah, I think, well, it's about the year of control. Daryl's 100% correct. That if you get the guy you want and you can get him in the first round and it's towards the end of the first round. And by the way, you know, the way you look at the salary cap, I think makes a difference there because you'll be able to have them under the rookie contract for that extra year. That's right. That fifth year. That's what we're talking about. And knowing the constraints that they put on themselves with Deshaun Watson. Again, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Until they tell me Deshaun Watson's not on the team, I think as long as he's on the team, there is going to be an avenue, while it may not be that great, that we could end up seeing him on the field, if not at the end of this season, maybe, or in the middle, depending on how he heals. I know you are vehement in your words saying there's no way he's going to be healthy enough to play this season.
I think his body will not allow him to play this season. So that's why I'm like, let's get this off the table, because I don't think his body is going to be healthy enough, or if it is healthy enough, it's healthy enough in late December. And if we're having this conversation in late December, it's because the wheels have completely fallen off of the wagon and it's floating in Lake Erie. That's really the only way that I'm looking at it. And they're going, well, need a quarterback, and he is one, so go get him, Tiger. Like, that's how I'm looking at it. It's not as much as like, well, you know, we spent the money. It's more like, I don't think his body's going to have him in a position to do this. You know what
I
mean?
I'll buy it. I just think as long as he's on the payroll, there's going to be a chance for him to be back on the field. And I'm not saying, again, if he's healthy enough to go back, he is training here, right? He's here.
Put out a hype video. A cool kid hype video.
I think when you look at the big picture, and you know, he's on the IR, how many quarterbacks are they going to carry this year? All of these questions are laying out there for them. And I don't know if we have got to wait for, I kind of feel like Aaron Rodgers doesn't matter anymore. Does it matter?
I don't think they've been interested in it. I mean, Mary Kay told us they haven't been interested in him since Jump Street.
I'm not saying the Browns. But I don't think, like, I don't feel like that domino effect matters anymore because of Aaron Rodgers. Do you?
Oh, gosh, no. I think everybody looked at it and said, I'm not waiting on you any longer. You're going to continue to be
Russell Wilson,
little attention mongrel that you've become.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go get your attention. We're going to operate the way we're operating. And if you decide to play football, great. And if you don't, whatever. Like, I think that's where we are on Rodgers is he's just going to kind of do whatever he does. And it's going to have no impact on what anybody else does, except the Steelers, where if he comes back and says, hey, I'll love to play here, they'll be all in. Until that happens, I got a feeling they even have plan B, C, and D laid out. Or at least they should.
Probably. We'll see how it plays out. But I think the big picture on this story is I have no problem with the fact Kirk Cousins was here yesterday and created a buzz. I love it. I think it's great. I mean, it's positive. He's here. He was here. Whether he's here to visit friends or, you know, whatever. And whether he's trying to drive up his price or maybe he's affecting the way people are looking at things. Who knows? But I don't know. I think it was a cool story to have yesterday, and it's a story that's got legs until about Monday. Or people are like, oh, did you know he was in Westlake? Okay, well, Bill Cowher is still looking for that house in Strongsville, too. So take it for what it's worth. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. When we come back, the great Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports, Cleveland High School basketball legend. Next, right here, Baskin and Phillips. Man, I get so proud every time I turn on that TV and I see the pride of Northeast Ohio, the pride of St. Joe's High School, and the pride of Ohio State. And when I think of one word to describe our next guest, it is pure class, and he is Clark Kellogg. And right now, he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Clark, how are you, my friend?
Hello,
how are you,
Clark,
doing?
Hey, Andy, Dan, good to hang out with you guys, and appreciate the kind words. I'm grateful and thankful to be part of one of the great sporting events on the calendar, but more thankful to be a Northeastern Ohio native and a Buckeye resident, man. So thank you.
Clark, I was worried for you last week, and I know you're knee-deep in college stuff, but during the high school basketball tournament last weekend for the boys, which, by the way, is now 7 divisions, if you didn't know.
I know. I've kind of kept up from a distance, yeah.
There's a kid named Quinn Kwesniak from
Cornerstone
Christian.
Yeah.
Dude, I thought he was going to go for your record of 51 last weekend. I'm like, oh, Clark could be in trouble.
Well, that would be a great guy to break it. He's had a remarkable career and just a phenomenal shooter. Obviously, I know the Kwesniak family from my time at St. Joe's and stay in touch with Babe and keeping track of his boys, and really proud of Quinn, man. He's had a phenomenal journey and has handled himself really, really well. So excited to see all his success.
He is not scared to shoot from anywhere on the floor. I mean, anywhere.
Yeah, you got to let it fly when you can stroke it like that. There's no reason to be hesitant when you've got that stroke. Let it fly. Let it fly.
Well, I mean, that's what I felt like watching Alabama. That was like a whole team of guys that had a stroke going, holy mackerel.
Oh, man, that was so remarkable. I mean, they had not shot it well from three coming into the tournament. And in the tournament, the first two games, I think they were 13 to 38. And you knew at some point the dam was going to break because they take a lot typically. And they usually shoot a reasonable percentage. And I've seen it countless times throughout my time in the game, over 45, 50 years that I've been attached to basketball in some form or fashion. And guys that really can shoot it or score it when they've had a little bit of a rough stretch, man, when they break out of it, it's usually a volcanic eruption. I mean, it's not a quiet breakout, you know, and a guy like Sears, who had been struggling for his normal percentages, that basket got big real fast, and it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome to see them break that record the way they did. And he wasn't by himself. I mean, shoot, Youngblood made a handful. Aiden Holloway made 5 or 6, I think. So it was a full team onslaught from the three-point line.
Yeah, Alabama went 25 of 51 in that game. BYU went 60 of 30 in that game, taking 81 threes in a game, Clark. Is that good for basketball that we're shooting 81 threes in one of these games?
It is. It's basketball, Dan. I mean, that's the nature of the game. I mean, the math says 3 is more than 2, and if you can get quality looks for good shooters, I mean, you're trying to win, and you're trying to do it as efficiently and expeditiously as you can. the three-point shot is part of that equation. Now, I don't like running to the three-point line in transition when a layup is easily available, but some teams do that. I like the ball to go inside. But those threes they were getting, both teams, were typically off push-ups in transition or off paint touches and penetrating and kick. I mean, I recall a couple of Alabama's threes that were just textbook ball movement after penetration where that defense is in rotation and a ball can move much faster than people when it's hopping and you can't catch it. And if you can get it to a three-point shooter, short corner, or elsewhere for Alabama, then that's good basketball. When that thing moves and you get quality shots for good shooters, I don't mind if the greater percentage of them is from three.
Clark, why do you think we haven't seen that many upsets this year? It's been pretty chalk.
Yeah, you know, I was of the mindset, guys, probably a month and a half ago or so, that we might not see any number one seeds in San Antonio just because the quality of teams is so much greater now because of the transfer portal, and NIL certainly has a role to play in guys moving around. And then the COVID year, so teams are not only better, but they're also older, as a general rule across college hoops. So they're just more good quality teams. So I thought a couple of the number ones would be vulnerable, but that hasn't played out. And each year the tournament gives us what it gives us. What we can always count on is that it will deliver. And that doesn't mean you're going to have Cinderellas every year. It doesn't mean you're going to have chalk every year. You're going to have some mixture of all of that. And you're always going to have a story or two that comes out of nowhere, which is part of what makes it special. I mean, I like whatever the tournament gives us because I think it always delivers. The setup, 3 weeks, 68 teams down to one shining moment, the crucible of one and done, is a magical formula. So I'm fine with how it's played out. I think the top teams have played, performed at a high level, and therefore, we just haven't had as many of the upsets that have occurred in prior years.
I don't like the distraction of the transfer portal right now. I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah. I mean, the calendar is jacked up, guys. It's not a function of – well, the landscape is totally different. Everything is reported. Everything is newsworthy, even when it shouldn't be newsworthy. That's just the nature of the world we live in now. Technology is wonderful. It's improved our lives, but there's another part of the sword that cuts negatively when everybody is privy to information and everybody is offering opinions and thoughts and commentary and debates, and fake news is considered real news. And so all of that contributes to the environment. But the biggest culprit, in my opinion, is the calendar. The transfer portal needs to be after the activity on the court. And hopefully that'll happen because it forces institutions. I mean, if you're about to take another job, the transfer portal opened a few days ago, which is a huge part of the lifeline and lifeblood of college sports now, particularly basketball, football, recruiting. And recruiting now has tilted primarily and significantly to the transfer portal. So when that becomes open and you're in the process of considering moving to another place, the institution that's hiring you is like, we need to get moving. Mm. We need to have you in place. And then the media wants you're still coaching a team. You're trying to stay. I mean, it's a mess. And the one way to help solve it, we've got a lot of work to do in this landscape of NIL and transfer portal. But one of the ways is to get the calendar right, to move this transfer portal opening away from live tournament action and get it behind it. And I hope we can do that much sooner rather than later.
Clark Kellogg joining us, CBS Sports. Watch him there, all the great tournament action going on CBS, TNT, TBS, all the way through the line all weekend and through the month as well. The other one with that was doing me in is it was so funny watching, Clark, that McNeese State make that run and Omar Khan in the front of it and everybody going nuts about that and how much fun that whole thing was.
Yep.
But,
oh, yeah. Again, that's part of the special sauce. I mean, you never know when the Sister Jean is going to show up, as she did with Loyola back in 18, the crying kid that was following Northwestern during one of their tournament runs, and Amir Aura Khan. As he goes by, that was pretty entertaining and fun, and it was organic. It was just something that bubbled up, and everybody enjoyed it and had some fun with it. And them winning their first tournament game in the history of the program was a nice piece to that story as well. So, yeah, those are the things that are always, in some form or fashion, a part of this time of year, and that's why it's such a special love.
But the other part of that, Clark, was Will Wade being in the middle of it, basically having that contract for him to go to, oh gosh, I can't remember what school it is right now. I'm blanking. Thank you. That whole thing was just, it was so weird watching him because you knew he was coaching his heart out. And you knew these kids were coaching their heart out. But boy, that sitting there was just kind of a distraction from the tournament.
It does take away. I mean, there's no denying that. You would much rather have everything be focused and funnel towards what's going on between the lines. But the reality is the business of college sports, particularly football and basketball, is such that the business gets in the way. And it's not always neat. It's sometimes messy and chaotic and not ideal. But that's the reality that we live in. I mean, the coaching carousel is up and turning and churning, and that's not going to stop. That's always the case this time of year. You throw in the element of the calendar being out of whack, along with, you know, as far as it relates to the transfer portal. And these athletic directors want to get moving, and it is what it is. I don't like it. I don't think it serves the game. It's a distraction, and it needs to be corrected, and I'm hopeful that it will be. But it is. It's unsettling. It's this company, and it really it really takes away from what's going on between the lines.
Clark, can you take me behind the scenes a little bit too? Your days are super long during this NCAA. Yeah. Just kind of, you know, for the folks that are watching you and the hours you guys put in during the NCAA basketball tournament. I mean, you're putting in those hours all year, but we see it firsthand. So, what's a typical day like?
The tournament is really where it gets amplified because you've got those 16 games in day one and two. So we get there usually about 11. We're on the air at noon, and then we're off the air 12:30 or maybe a tad before 1. We're watching games. We're doing half times and post games. I try to prepare not only my mind but my body for the grueling tournament time all year long. I'm watching games. I'm taking notes. I'm trying to learn 100 teams before Selection Sunday. So I've got a pretty good handle on all 68 by the time the bracket comes out. And then I'd be watching the games anyway, so now it's a matter of having a form and a template of preparation to highlight nuggets and notes about each team. And that's what I do. And I typically read it, write it down, and then review it so I can regurgitate it. And that's typically how I go about it. I don't keep track of the hours. I do whatever's necessary to be a good teammate for everybody that you see on the set with me and the tens and tens of people that you don't see, our researchers, our producers, our directors, our broadcast associates, our technical directors, our camera folks. I try to be a really good teammate for everybody by preparing to do my job at the highest level and then to be encouraging and uplifting to the other folks and to never forget the privilege we have to do what we do. It's fun. It is a job, but it's hard to call it work when you enjoy it so much. And so I'm grateful and try to approach my work and my life with a sense of gratitude and joy and appreciation all the time.
Clark, are you guys locked into the set during the day, or can you walk into a green room and start watching stuff a little bit? Because I got to imagine
We're pretty much on the set. There's a couple of different places. There's one other place where our executives will have everything, kind of a command center. I'll go back there. It's down the hall. We get up and walk around, but we primarily watch the games at our desk, and then there's a monitor that can be moved closer to our desk position, and then we can walk around in the studio. But, yeah, we're pretty much – we don't have a designated green room to go to watch the games, but we have a couple of places where we can get up and walk around and engage with the rest of our team. So, yeah, it's a fun group, great folks, and obviously the product is terrific.
All right, last question on the behind-the-scenes stuff. So the first time you found out you're going to be working with Kenny and Charles – on that, when you guys came with the game, what went through your mind? And I mean, it comes right through the TV as you guys are having a blast. Is it as fun as it, you know, you are?
Oh, clearly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can't fake that. We enjoy each other. I've been back in the studio since 2014. And the first year or two, it took a minute to get comfortable in how we were going to navigate our specific roles. But after that, it's basketball. It's guys that have mutual respect and love and appreciation for each other. And we know entertainment is part of it, but informing is part of it too. And everybody is free to be their authentic selves, which I think is part of what comes across on television and which makes it successful and enjoyable, we hope, for those that are watching.
Clark Kellogg joining us. CBS Sports is where you can see him for all the tournament coverage. All right, Clark, give me somebody you like the rest of the way. All right, who do you think wins this thing? And give me a fun one that you're keeping an eye on that might take over.
Yeah, you know, I picked Florida and Duke to play for it all on Selection Sunday. I haven't changed from that position. The interesting game for me is the Michigan and Auburn game, and even the Ole Miss-Michigan State game. You know, Michigan State, of all the teams in the Sweet 16, I think they've probably played the farthest below their standard and still advanced. So I think they've got room to really become more efficient, and they'll probably need to against Mississippi. But that Michigan Auburn game is interesting because of the 7-footers at Michigan. Kentucky Tennessee is the third meeting between conference foes, and then Houston Purdue is a bit of a home game for the Boilermakers. I know Kelvin Sampson not too thrilled about being in Indy, but his team is more than up to the challenge of handling that, in my opinion. So yeah, but the Auburn Michigan game is the one that probably intrigues me the most of the games we've got tonight.
All right, last question. Is Nick still playing overseas?
No, Nick is actually on the staff at Ohio State. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did know. Oh, silly. Yep, I forgot. Yep.
He's hanging out over there. COVID kind of short-circuited his playing career, but he had a good experience and is still in the game and doing pretty well.
And family's good. Anybody need to say hi to back in Cleveland?
All of the folks that keep a good eye on me and encourage me with their love and support. I haven't lived there in a long time, but that's still home and where it all began for me.
All right, Clark, we're always watching you. We love the fact that you always take the time to talk to us too, especially during the NCAA tournament. And I know that when I was super green traveling the NBA circuit, you were always first class and just a great human being. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Clark.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it, Dan. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the madness, guys.
All right, we'll talk
to you. That's a promise, man. You as well. Yep.
Clark Kellogg was just with us from CBS Sports. Talked college basketball, talked about the legend that he is here in Northeast Ohio. Brian Anderson scheduled to join us in about 20 minutes. We'll see. I mean, he's got to be – if he doesn't join us today, I won't be surprised. He's a regular with us. But, I mean, obviously, they got a lot of stuff going on with Tampa right now. And, you know, they're playing at Steinbrenner Field because Tropicana Field – was still Tropicana Field? I can't remember what the last name of it was.
Yeah, it is Tropicana Field.
Okay, so –
you're good.
I mean, obviously, they had, you know, severe weather damage, so – I got to tell you, the Yankees and the Rays did a really nice job of converting Steinbrenner Field down there in Tampa to be able to, you know, give the Rays a place to be able to play baseball this year inside, you know, their own little area rather than having to move and play games on the road somewhere. I mean, who knows? They could have ended up playing games in Miami if
you're able to get out there, go see a game, because you'll never be closer in your life to a Major League Baseball game than you will going in that stadium and watching it.
Yeah, they did. I mean, if you see the pictures of what they did, it's actually really cool. So we'll talk to Brian about that hopefully at noon. We're hoping he's with us. Danny Green's going to join us at 1 o'clock, our Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. We'll talk about the Cavaliers. Magic number now 5 in clinching the Eastern Conference. So,
all right. We just talked to Clark Kellogg.
Yeah.
His big complaint was the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of everybody's complaint right now. Transfer portal is going on right now during March Madness. It's throwing a bunch of hiccups into a lot of different things. It's taking the spotlight away from what we should be paying attention to. I have the solution.
Give it to me.
Take the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
Move it to Memorial Day.
For all sports?
I think so.
I don't, how's football going to feel about that?
Andy, if you can't get a team together and ready to play in September that you put together in May, that's on you, bud. Like that, I'm looking at a coach on that one, and I'm saying, dude, you've got, what is that? That would be close to 3 months? If you can't get this together in 3 months, that's a you problem. Like, I don't know how else to spin this. Because the way, if you move it to Memorial Day, what you'll do is you get past finals. So the academic part is out of it. I know, stop laughing. But you get past finals, you get past the tournament, you get to the end of the semester, so you're not worrying as much about different classes and credits and all of that kind of stuff. And Memorial Weekend, the only thing that's really going on around the sports calendar is baseball. And a little bit of basketball, NBA basketball in between there. So if you took the transfer portal and you stuck it, let's say the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, you could own that entire weekend of transfer portal. Just put it right there at the end of the semester, and then that way it's as clean as it gets. Thoughts?
You know, I think it doesn't matter when you put the transfer portal out there. I mean, it, okay, as much as, and I'll be honest, I'll think about Olympic sports here then too, sure. Right? So, you know, you're not, NCAA track and field doesn't hit until June.
Right.
So now you've got those guys and gals who are portal, you know.
But I mean, baseball, we can stagger this.
I mean, let's be like, honest, the College Baseball World Series is a pretty awesome thing. Is it as big as college basketball? No, it's not. No,
and the College Softball World Series is unbelievable too. Like, let's, College Softball World Series down in Oklahoma is awesome. But maybe not the end-all be-all, but at least with the basketball one, maybe we stagger this thing and
that's
pick
what
different
I think, at different times. I think the answer should be the transfer portal can't open until the last day of the NCAA championship. So, you know, let's just, what are we, next Monday is college basketball final. Not this Monday, but the following Monday is the last day for college basketball, right?
Yes.
Or the women are on Tuesday, or the women on Tuesday? I can't remember.
I think the women might be on Tuesday. But
okay. So whatever, make it the Wednesday after, whatever. So as once, I do think it would make an interesting loophole for multi-sport athletes, but that I'm not going to even take that into consideration
so,
right now.
Yeah, so
just
maybe,
so whenever your season ends, you can't enter the transfer portal until the day after the season's over. I don't know. Why is that so hard?
But there has to be some.
And I know you're looking at the academic part of it,
right,
too.
There has
I get
to
that.
Be some reflection in the academic calendar, especially you're talking about the baseball, softball, swimming, track and field, that kind of stuff. That falls on the academic side more than it does for basketball and football, which are the
football
abnormalities,
yeah.
Right? So I wonder if maybe football, you do it. You can't do it at the end of finals because they've yanked the season so long. So I wonder if maybe you open it second week of January, but that's tough because you got to get back. Usually by Martin Luther King Day is when they have all the students come back in between the semesters. So with lengthening this playoff, it's made it a little bit tougher to do the transfer portal inside of there. So football, I got to work on that one. I got to figure out a date for that one. But I think basketball makes the most sense if you just do it at the end of the academic calendar. And then that way it becomes fair game that you could put this together. And maybe football's the same way. Maybe football only gets one transfer portal. And you just do it right at the end of the academic year. And you don't do it in between the semesters because there isn't time. If you sign up, and maybe that helps this moving around and all that stuff. If you sign up, you got to stay the full year. Maybe that's the answer. And you just got to maybe be a little hard line on it. I don't know. Again, I'm kicking this around because I think there's got to be a better way to do this, and I think the academic calendar may end up being the answer we're all looking for as to how we can make this all work without making the transfer portal a distraction inside of the NCAA tournament or making the transfer portal a distraction inside of bowl season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the big picture thing here is, I mean, we're watching the NCAA basketball tournament play out in front of us, and then we're talking about, well, hey, see you guys. Peace out. Later. I'm
right.
Done after the game. Or,
right.
You know,
I mean,
or
that whole McNeese State thing with Will Wade. I mean, God, that was so obnoxious and something that should have been awesome is that we were spending the entire time watching Will Wade coach going, okay, well, he's going to be coaching somewhere else the minute they're out of the tournament. I mean, they're even saying it on the broadcast. Like, it was so not hidden that even the broadcasters were like, yeah, Will Wade, the minute that this tournament run ends, he's out. You're like, whoa, wait a minute.
But there is a part of college athletics, too, that we've always kind of known where – you know, especially, well, I don't even know if that's true, but it seems like it's always been more on the coach's side. Like, teams that always were going to bowl games and you knew that an assistant coach was going to be – I don't think there's any problem when you're moving up, right? If there's an assistant coach that gets a head coach's job somewhere else, then you wonder, well, you know, oh, they're the coordinator for this game, for this bowl game, for this national championship.
But at least,
you know, they're going, it was easier to swallow.
Yeah.
Watching athletes now participate in these NCAA events, knowing that, you know, this is probably the last time. And it's not like they're a senior, you know?
Right. You know, you're talking, I mean, gosh, freshmen are going, you know, go pro and all that kind of stuff. And that's the way the rules are laid out. There's got to be a way. And I think we're on to something with moving this thing to Memorial, to where you've got that long weekend. You could dominate the sports calendar on top of the fact that you are away from everything and finals are typically done. So then that way, again, you have the academic calendar. You can have the coaches' movement involved. You can have the transfer portal going too. I think we're on to something there. And I think that might be an answer the NCAA should look at.
All right. That's something to contemplate. It's a major distraction, though. I think it just takes away from what, you know, your ultimate goal is in the beginning of the season. That's to try to win a championship, or, you know, to at least fulfill the requirements to your own teammates about not being a distraction while you're trying to win, you know, in the NCAA basketball tournament or in any other tournament, baseball, track, or any other field. All right, so let's come back. Oh, you got a piece of news?
Oh yeah, I'll just give you a little bit of news here. The Guardians have announced their minor league affiliate rosters. I know something typically we would not pay a whole lot of attention to, but a certain Australian is going to be playing a shortstop in Akron.
All right, let's talk more about that when we come back. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Opening day!
Sorry, second base. I can't believe I said that.
That's okay.
A certain Australian will be playing second base in Akron.
Well, in Australia, wouldn't it be the other? I don't know. 216-474-0092.
I don't think the infield works like the toilet.
Sometimes.